Alright, we're going to start three lines down on Samach Bet Amud Aleph. Send the line. It says, "Heid Rabbi Yossi ben Shulam Mishum Rabbi Yochanan Achiv Shamar Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Chisma Einosim Chalat Am Aretz B'Tahara." That you cannot make the Chalat Am Aretz B'Tahara. Avalosim Isat Chalyo B'Tahara. That you can make his isa of chala b'tara, the notel amenu kedei chala, and you will take off the portion of chala, u'menicha b'kfisha o b'anchuta. You'll place it into a vessel that's kfisha anchuta. Shabbat Amar is lito, notel et shtehem b'eno chushish. And the Amar comes to take, it takes both of them, and you don't worry about it. So now let's explain what's going on here. So you have a case where you have an Am Haaretz who's coming to a Megavel. Megavel is a kneader who is a chaver. So he's asking the Megavel, the kneader, to knead on his behalf the dough. Now, if he brings to him the dough of a chala, in that the person, the Am Haaretz, has already begun the process of kneading, and he separates out adding water to the flour, and then he separates out the challah portion of it, that flour, and then he gives it to the megavel, to the kneader, in order to work over the challah. Then he may not prepare the challah. Now Rashi says the reason for this is because our underlying assumption is that the isa, the dough, was already tameh, in that the Am Haaretz does not know how to handle the dough when it's in its original beginning stages, and therefore he for sure was metameh. Then, what he brings it to a chaver knows how to treat everything properly, and people rely on this chaver when he gives out things that they are assumed to be tahor, and assumed to be ra'ui for the kohen. So now he's going to go be megavel, he's going to be need this dough that is challah, and then it's going to go to Kohen, and the Kohen will assume that this dough is good and tahor because it's coming from the chaver. So because of that we say no, that the chaver is not permitted to work with the dough of challah from the Am Haaretz, because it's going to quote-unquote change its status in people's eyes. People, it really is probably tameh because of the Am Haaretz is engagement with this dough. Nevertheless, now that it's coming from the hands of a chaver, people are going to assume it's tahor. So we say, do not get involved. On the other hand, if the Am Haaretz gives him the dough up front or the flour up front, it says knead the whole thing, then the chaver may accept it. Why? Because then he's certain that everything is done b'tahara, everything is done properly, and since it's given to him from the beginning stages, he is megadalit, he kneads it, and then separates out the challah. He takes off the challah from this piece of dough. Now once he's taken off the challah from this piece of dough, he has two pieces of dough. One dough that's chulin and one that is challah. The piece of challah he places into a kfisha or an anchuta. Kfisha and anchuta are certain kilim that are, first of all, not mekabel tumah, because they are either pshutei kliyot, they have some sort of form that makes them not ra'ui to be mekabel tumah. They don't have a toch, maybe they don't have an inside, they're pshutei kliyot, they're flat wooden boards. That's number one. And number two is that normally you do not put dough on them. Those are the two characteristics of this anchuta and kfisha. So therefore it'll be clear to the Am Haaretz, so this is something different, number one. And number two is, even if he touches the vessel on which the dough is, it will not be metame the dough. We'll deal with this more in a second. Then, on that point, he gives him the challah on these boards when it's not tame, and he gives him the regular dough. That he is permitted to do. And now we're going to have the exact same thing, or a similar thing, when it comes to olives. So they have...
The last question we had yesterday, the question was also going to be according to Rishon HaLevi.
Right, Rav Shimon Elazar, with Rav Shimon Elazar's qualification of the Tana Kama,
correct? He's called the Tana Kama. Right. The Tana Kama says that
By Tmeya, right? He said exactly. But the Gemara's inference is that not the bad issue, but the issue of Gneva, that we assume that she will be Gonev. If she is Gonev, then we assume she will also be Cholev. And the underlying assumption of our Gemara before that was that there is no problem, no Chashash of Cholev anyway. No, but here we have Rabbi Shimon Elazar is introducing the possibility that there is a chashash of cholev. So how could you make a general statement that we don't worry about cholev, but we don't worry about people exchanging food when we see there is such a chashash? That's the issue, right? And even the Tanakhama says by Tahora that she can't do it. I mean that Rabbi Elazar is only arguing on the Tmeya. We add to that part, but even the Tanakhama agrees by Tahora that it would be a problem.
And the problem
with the Gemara is where it ends the Gemara, depends who, according to whom, right? Depends according to whom. But at least for sure, under Rabbi Shimon Elazar, it's a question. Maybe even according to the Tanakhama, it might be a question. And the Tahora site, depending on why you learn the problem with Tahora. Rashi learned one way, which may not present it as a problem. Tosfos learned otherwise, and that would present it as a problem. Alright, so now the Gemara continues here with Zeytin, when it says that Ve'enu sim trumat zeytav b'tahara. You may not, if the Amaretz brings you the olives to be, now here we're talking about a badad is someone who presses the olives, but these are olives who have already been worked over, juice has already come out of them, or oil has already come out of them, and therefore they already were mukhshad kabel tuma, and therefore you may not accept the truma from the Amaretz of his Zeytin, because again, the same assumption that he was probably Mitameit, and when he gives the Truma to the Vadad, it's already Tameit. Aval Osim, but you can take the Zeytav Kuyo, the Tara. You can take the Zeytin from the original state and work them through, right? But I'll tell him in a day Truma, and then you separate off Truma, then you place them into the Kelim of the Vadad, the one who works the things. Works the olives. Shuba Amaris, he told no to let Shem in a Moshe. She gives them both to the Amaris and doesn't worry about it. Now the question is, time of mind. What's the reason over here we allow both the Mikabel and the Badad to get involved with the Amaris at all? So it says, Arayokon, Mishum Kadei Chayav de Gabel, or Mishum Kadei Chayav de Badad. Since we're only dealing here with a Chash de Rabbanon, which we'll see, it's only a Din de Rabbanon that's the problem here. And since we want to not be the kapeach, right, the livelihood of a gavel, of a neder, or the badad, we allow them to engage or to work with Amei Haaretz as long as they did it in a way that involved the entirety of the isa or the entirety of the process of the alos. Now Rashi said again that the issue is that a problem of tumah. Tosa says that the only time that the chamin were overrode their takana or overrode their zera not to get involved with the amaretz is when he worked the whole dough or he worked the whole olive grouping, because only there is there significant amount of panosa in order for this individual to override. If he just works the challah part, if he just works the tumah part, that's not enough money for us to say to him, go ahead and override. So that's what Tosfos says, opposed to Rashi, it's not a tumah tahara issue, it's just an issue of there has to be a sufficient value for the chamim to override it. Now the question says, first thing, v'tzricha, that we need both the issue, we need both the example of the badad and the example of the mikavel. Why? If you're just talking about a neder, mishum zelo nafish agre, because he doesn't get a lot of schar, it's not a very well-paying job. About badad, but the olive person who works the olive press is the nafish agre, that his, you know, he collects a lot of money, it's an expensive and typical job. Right, Amalo, we'll say maybe not. Maybe in that instance, since he can make a lot of money by what he does, we won't permit him to get involved with the amarks. If you talk about a badad, what's the issue about a badad? Right, it's not common. Why? Because there's only one olive pressing season. And it's seasonal. His business is very seasonal. Whereas about gavel, this shchiach lay, meaning that a kneading dough is an everyday event, and therefore since it's shchiach, came alone, so tzrichos. Therefore, we need both examples to teach you that the chamim were matir, overrode their takanos here not to be involved or to help out the amaretz in both instances, both the badad and with regards to a megavel. Now, the Gemara is going to go back and investigate the issues that came up in these two statements that we had. First statement, Amar Mar, no tale men of techalav, omenicha bekvisha, ube ankuta. So when he takes off the chalav, the mikavel, when he takes off the chalav, he places it into these utensils that are not mikavel tuma, and also are unusual for placing dough on them. Uksha ba'amaritz, no leitol, no tale shnehem, eno kloshesh. When the amaritz comes to take them, right, he takes both of them. Now the Gemara says, why don't we worry? Why aren't we cautious to the fact that the amaretz might actually touch the dough? In the fact that you place them into a kli that does not mekabel tuma, or you place them into a kli that's a simon, that's not a guarantee that the amaretz won't touch the dough itself. I mean, fine, as long as he touches the kalim, we don't have a problem. But who says he won't touch the dough? So that's what it says. Likush dilanogaba. So it says, the amrile, this is an amazing statement of the Gemara. So it says that we make up a din. The amrile chazi, inogat ba, hajat the tefillah. It says, if you touch this dough, it'll go back to being tevel. So here this covers mafresh chala for him, and then he gives him the chulim and tukanim in one, you know, bowl. He gives him the chala in the other bowl, or the flat surface that's not the kabel tuma. And we're afraid that the amaretz might touch the dough. So what do we say to him? We say to him, we make up a din, that what? If you touch this dough, it'll go back to being tevel. It's an amazing thing here. So he says that, make up l'chazi, nagaba hajulutib. Also, the Gemara says exactly a little bit of what you're saying, see? Maybe he won't care. Maybe he'll say, okay, so it goes back to being tevel. What do I care about this? I'll touch it, it'll be mine. What do I care if it goes back to tevel? So Gemara says, very nice. But why did this Amaretz bring it to a chaver neither in the first place in order to have it separated out and have challah taken? Obviously, he wanted to have things done correctly. So he wanted things to be done correctly, and we warn him if he touches it, it will undo that which he tried to do. Then we're assuming that if his mindset is to do right, that he'll continue to do right and not do something wrong. So now we have it. So now we have explanation, right, of the case of the dough. Again, the case of the dough is if he brings some challah, we don't let him work it, because either Rashi says the chash, that maybe someone will lie in this chaver and think that the challah is tahora. According to Tosfos, it's not enough compensation for the mekabel for us to say that we override and sometimes come and have to get involved with the amaretz. On the other hand, if he brings him the original dough from the original state, and the mekabel is the one who puts the water in, is the one who deals with it from that point forward, we say the mekabel says he can work it because of, we said, k'dei chayav, in order to provide him parnasa. So we said he's allowed to work this amaretz. He splits it, he takes off the challah. When he takes off the challah, he places it into a utensil that is not normally used for challah, so the amaretz will remember not to touch it. And how do we warn him not to touch it? We say, if you do touch it, it will become tevel again. And the Gemara says that's okay because he wants it to work. If he wants it to be right and challah, he won't touch it. And if he holds it in the kli is not mekabel tuma. Therefore, the amaretz won't affect the challah. And now the challah will be good challah, can be given to the kohen and eaten by the kohen and relied on by the kohen that's tahor. And then he has kulin mitukanim, he has regular kulin that are fine for the amaretz. So that's the first case. Now the Gemara wants to know about the zaytin. Amar mar, no tolei menu k'dei truma, u'menichal the kli or kelab shel chaver. So as opposed to by the challah, where we said he places it onto a utensil that's not mekabel tuma, and that holds the dough as a heker, over here we say we place it into utensils of the chaver. Why not do the same thing we did by the challah when he takes up truma and place it into something that's not mekabel tuma? And number two is, why does that have to be kelab shel chaver? So the Gemara says, "If Shabbat Amaretz, they don't know Telech Shtehem." He takes both of them. Ve'no Choshesh, and we don't worry. Beli Chosh Duma Nagabal. So again, let's worry about the Amaretz touching it. Bishlam Ahatam. In our case, the case of the Mekabel by the dough, Hatam Itale Hekera. Here it's clear. There's a heker not to touch it. Why? Because you put it on a utensil that's not normally used to hold dough. But over here, you didn't put it into anything unusual. You just put it into the kelim of the chaver. So how come I Hekeri slay? What heker is there over here that the Amaretz shouldn't touch it when he gets the olive back, or the olive oil back? The manachle b'kli galim, galim u'kli abanim u'kli adama. Now he places it into utensils that are not mekabel tuma. And what are those utensils? Those are utensils made out of dung or stone, earth, right? So that these are all things that are not kelim, that are not mekabel tuma. So the Gemara says, Yihachi Ma'iriya Dechaber. Why do we care who owns the kli? Meaning that who owns the kli is irrelevant if you take kelim that are not mekabel tumah. It could even be the kelim of the amaretz, because they're not mekabel tumah. The Gemara says, Apilu amaretz, nami. It could even be used as the amaretz. Takanami ka'amaret. That's exactly what we're saying. The kelim shall amaretz haru'im lishtamesh behem chaber. And when we say that's the kelim of the chaber, it doesn't mean literally the kelim of a chaber, but the kelim. A type of kelim or a kelim that a chaver would be, right, chaver kelim would be willing to use even if an amaretz can use them or belong to an amaretz because they're not mekabel tumah. So again, now we dealt with the olives. The olives have the same structure as the megabel, which is number one, that if he brings them just the tumah to work, we say no, according to Rashi, because we're afraid that people will assume it's tahor, and according to Tosos, because there's not enough value in the compensation for us to override and allow you to work the amaretz. Now, if he brings them the Zaytim from the beginning of the process, of the pressing process where the Amaretz is not involved and couldn't even tell me them, we permit you to do this because of Kedei Chayav again. Now once he engages with them, he separates out the Truma and then he presses everything. When he presses the Truma, he places them into utensils that are not Mekabel Tuma again, because we don't want the Amaretz to tame and make it Tamei. Number two is, we put them to Kelim, we have to assume that are not normally used for oil, Kli Avanim, Kli Galalim, and these not normally used for oil, therefore there's a heker to the amaretz, and our assumption is that we'll say the same thing to the amaretz again. If you touch the oil will go back to being tevel, because otherwise we have a chashash that even if he can't make a tummy by touching the kli, he might touch the oil. So you have to say that we say the same thing to him again, and then once we say that to him, we say, oh, why won't he ignore what we're saying? Because, again, he came here to have it done right. If he wants it done right, he's not going to violate our word and do it incorrectly. Right, so that's
the fact that they apparently commonly use kelim made out of dama. Kelim dama is an unfired.
Yeah, it's baked in the sun. Right, it's earthenware vessels that are dirty.
Not ceramic.
Right, or even mud, things that are heated through the, hardened through the sun, and not fired up in a furnace and finished Gemara Malachka. But most, Kli Adama really means Adama dirt rather than necessarily Kli Cheres, although it might apply to Kli Cheres that are not fired in a kiln, but rather only just baked in the sun, they're hardened through the sun, right? Right, because it doesn't have a Gemara, it doesn't have a Gemara Malachka to be a Kli. Right. Now we continue with the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah says, "Machzikim yideyakum b'shvi'it." Now the Gemara seems over here to think "Machzikim" means you actually work with them, that you work alongside with them. So now the Gemara says, "Machzikim," you work alongside them. Amar Abdimi Barshish Nemechmei Derav Eino Dreamin Akum b'shvi'it. You're not allowed to go and hoe or rake along or turn over the soil with the Akum b'shvi'it. Vinkoftim Shalom over the Chachamim. You cannot greet the Ovid Chachamim twice. You don't say Shalom to him twice. So the Gemara says, "Look, Tzrich Lamei Marlehu Achzuke BeAlma." Now we say Machzikin, right? It doesn't mean literally you help them with the work, but Achzuke BeAlma is like giving them encouragement, right? Achzuke from not Achzuke in the sense of Chazak being working physically with them, but Achzuke means to give them encouragement, right? To help them go along. Kiad Rav Yehuda Marlehu. Rav Yehuda used to say to them, "Achzuku," right? Meaning, go ahead, do well. It works. I hope it works well for you during the Shvi'is, or Shishi Samarlu Asharta, right? It should be like, it's almost like this Ashikolach, right? Asharta, it should go well for you, it should be, right? It should be nice. Right, it should go, well in general. So these are the idea. The idea here is not that we go and actually work with the Ovid Chachamim, but rather that we encourage them to succeed during Shvi'it, because obviously they were relying on these Ovid Chachamim for the produce during the Shvi'it. And again, because of the Takana of Darkei Shalom, that we allow it to take place. Now it's interesting, Tosfos over here points out that there is a, that the Eino Dreamin Akum B'Shvi'it provides a problem, because he brings another Gemara that says that you're allowed to work the land when it comes to a gistro, right? An agistone is, Rashi thinks an agistone has to do with that if your non-Jew hires you to do it and work the land. So this is over here, it says from our Gemara, it seems that you may not work non-Jewish land, even if you're hired by the non-Jew, which presents us a problem with Shvi'is, right? People would use one of the Heter Mechira. Right? Heter Mechira is perhaps the fact that since the non-Jew owns the land and he hired you to work on it, that is permitted. But Mark says that you cannot help an Akum. Doesn't matter, but here it's sounding like free, but doesn't, Rachel says, I'm not willing to differentiate between free or paid. Sounds like you cannot work a non-Jewish land during Shvi'it, which presents us a problem. So Tosfos answers the problem and says that, wait, no, we must say that our Gemara over here disagrees with the Gemara of the Bistrom and says what? So these are the answers. He gives a number of answers. I'll read them to you quickly. One is that either Sakana de Fashot, or the case of a Gistrom, the way Tosfos explains it was the king's tax. And if you didn't work and give the king the tax, your life was in danger. So they come to go out and work the field enough to pay the tax so that your life wouldn't be in danger. Of course, there it overrides Shvi'it. But based on that answer, that means that you couldn't work the land of a Kohen. His second answer is what we rely on when people rely on the Heter Mechira, is Inami Kasavar Yishkinyan Lenochri Veretz Yisrael Lepkiyam Shvi'it. That Gemara over there believes that a Nochri has the ability to be Mafkia Midei Kedushat Shvi'it. Right? And because of that, either both Yevul Nachri and Heter Mechira rely on the fact that the Goy can really take possession of the land, as opposed to our Gemara thinks that the Akon cannot take possession of the land. That's the way we rely. The Machlokes in the Beis Yosef and the Mabit, whether a Goy has the ability to take possession of the land and be Mafkiyam Yidei Kedusha. So generally, we all do it. Most people think that it's the case that the Goy has it. And again, in Bnei Brak, the Choshesh, the Chazanish, the Choshesh for the fact that a Goy is not Mafkiyam Yidei Kedusha, especially for the sheet of the Mabib. And because of that, in Bnei Brak, even those who buy Yevul Nachri, they worry, they either pay by check or credit card, so that the money is not tofes Kedushat Shvi'it, because money that is used to buy Perot Shvi'it, not only the Perot Shvi'it remains Shvi'it, but the money itself is tofes Kedushat Shvi'it. So either they don't use coinage, or if they get coinage from a change, from a chanut, from a makolet, they're makbid to treat it with Kedushat Shvi'it. Again, that's Minhag Bnei Brak, Minhag Yerushalayim is not to worry about that, but that's exactly this issue that we're talking about in the Gemara here. Inami, another answer that he gives, so says that Shvi'it B'Zman HaZeh is Derabbanan. Again, something that we rely on. The reason that we use so many of these heterim, and we rely on Golda Kula in so many of these psalkim, is because Shvi'it B'Zman HaZeh is Derabbanan. Because if it was Doraisa, we'd have to be Koshesh L'Chomra for the other Shitot. So the fact that we aren't Koshesh is because it's Shvi'it B'Zman HaZeh Derabbanan. Right, so even though generally the Rabbanan Tehillah was Osir by a Melech, they were Matir. But meaning again, we are Mitzarif, a number of these items to create our Heterim. Whether it is that Goy is Mafkim Yidei Shvi'it, it's Shvi'it B'Zman HaZeh the Rabbanan, and more and more we use a slew of Kulot in order to be Mitzarif to allow us to do certain things on Shvi'it. Okay, now continuing in Gemara, says, we said before, Rav Dimi said that you're not Kuflin Shalom L'Ovei Chachamim, you may not say Shalom twice to him. Rav Chisda Maktim V'Yoyku Shlalma. So this is interesting. Rav Chisda not only right, did he wish them, greet them, he paid Dr. Shalom, but he was even initiated to say Shalom. He didn't wait for them to say Shalom and only respond. Like, if they say Shalom doesn't mean just if they say Shalom to you may respond to them, but rather you even can initiate. That's what Rav Chisda is saying. Shalma Lamar. He used to greet him, Shalma Lamar. Now, what's interesting here is Tosfos reads this as Pashut, that he said, Shalom Lamar. You know, good morning, Mister. Right, that would be the equivalent of saying, good morning, Mister, or Shalom Mar, Shalom Mister. So why? Rashi gives an alternative shot here. This is very interesting. Rashi says over here that when he says Shalom Lamar, he really means that, not that he was saying, look, he was saying Shalom Lamar. Mar, in general, means my Rebbe. So Shalom Lamar means that he was saying it to the boy, looking at him, Shalom Lamar, but he's really trying to say, he said in his heart, he was thinking, I'm saying Shalom to my Rebbe, but he said Shalom Lamar, which the boy would interpret as being his greeting of to him. Tosfos says, what type of thing, what type of action is this? How could you do this? That's echad bepev, echad b'leiv, right? What are you going to do to riyot? How do you act in a way where you're not, when you say something, you don't mean what you say? He says, I don't understand. Where does that say, right? Dr. Shalom, right. But the question is, why did Rashi have to do that? That's a Tosfos' question. Tosfos' question is, what is, just go shot. The Gemara says, ain't kofflin shalom. You don't double up shalom. The Gemara brings you an example of someone who wasn't double shalom. How did he greet? He greeted Shalom Lamar. That's it. But I think Rashi is saying over here, Rashi's adding over here is that we saw that Rav Chisda added a kiddush to us. Rav Chisda added a kiddush, which is that you're allowed to initiate and not just come back. And then, if that's the case, then it doesn't seem to be that this Gemara, the flow of this Gemara, is talking about kofling shalom, about doubling shalom. Because Rav Chisda has nothing to do with the doubling, he just has to do with the initiation. So is that, if that's the case...
And most of our Shabbat Rosh that many of our Christmas reasons that was that the matter was One person would say shalom, and the typical response was shalom, shalom.
So we'll avoid that.
To make sure to greet them first, so it's not to be the situation of being kofel shalom to them.
Right. So the Rabbi Akiva Eiger over here references you to that Gemara in Brachos that about that difference. But if you don't learn that way, you just learn that a chiddush was initiated, and that's his chiddush. Then you have to say what was the chiddush of shalom lachamar, right? You have to say what's the chiddush. That's what Rashi's doing. So this is learning, I think, to what you're saying, shalom, based on the Gemara in Brachos, which is that the initiation of shalom was another example of how you don't say shalom, shalom, and therefore the next case of shalom lamar is another example of shalom lamar is also an example of not saying double shalom. Right now, sholim bishlomar. So the Gemara says that you're allowed to ask about their welfare. So when it says hashtag zuke machzikin sholim bishlom yibayim, and here you say that we're allowed to encourage them to do well and shviit. The question that you can ask them, you can greet them, you can ask, inquire about their welfare. That seems like a much smaller kiddush if you can already encourage them to do well on shviit. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Nisuchah leYom Chagam, that you're allowed to inquire to their welfare, greet them even on their holidays. The Tanya, we have a bris leik, and he said, "Don't let me touch your bris chachamim beYom Chagov beTzion lo Shalom." You may not enter the house, but not Jew on his holiday, in order to greet him or inquire for his welfare. Matzo b'shuk, if he finds him in the shuk, notin lo b'safar rafav b'kovid rosh. Right, he does it in a less than enthusiastic way. He greets him, right? Because what we don't want this guy to feel like it's his day. I mean, it's my holiday, it's my great day, and if he thinks it's his day, and you're greeting him, and he feels great, he may go give hoda'ah. He may go give hoda'ah to his avodah zarah. So in order to avoid that, we say you can greet them, but you have to greet them in a more discreet manner, in a less enthusiastic manner. Of course, it doesn't encourage this type of behavior, and that's the Kiddush in our Mishnah. Kiddush in our Mishnah is not that you can greet them or you can inquire to their welfare, but even on their Yom Kadam, you're allowed to do this. That's the Kiddush here. But who never pissed out? This is what we've seen earlier in the So Gneva was passing by. Let's stand up for him. The Barurim, who is a tremendous Kamachokam. We're going to get up in front of a Bar Machlokas. If you remember that from that Zion, there we know that Gneva was caused a lot of problems for my Ukva. That was the original story. He was causing problems for my Ukva, and my Ukva sent to Rabbi Huda, "What should I do about this person who's driving me crazy and really bothering me?" So he says, "Should we get up for a babuga at the hockey?" While they were discussing whether they should get up or not, Ata Ihu the Gabayu, he came to them. Amalu, Shalom Aleichu Malke. He says, "Shalom Aleichem, you my kings. Shalom Aleichu Malke. Well, Shalom Aleichem, my kings." Right. The other Gemara had a different, they were talking about a different topic.
Right.
So I think
he asked them what they were discussing.
And then he added something of value in that. So I'm assuming that the conversation was larger. The Gemara brings pieces of the conversation in the relevant Gemaras. But you see over here, this is irrelevant to our Gemara, so I got it to that's somewhat relevant to our Gemara, and the Gemara that was brought in Lamed Aleph talked about the Sugya there, which was relevant to the Sugya on Lamed Aleph. So I think, I'm assuming there was a larger conversation, the Gemara divided into two pieces. So he says, Amar Lei, Menaloch the Rabbanon, Ikre Malachim. First of all, how do you know that the Rabbanon, you said to us kings, how do you know that Rabbanon are called kings? So I'm a little different, because it says, Bami, Bi Malachim Yimluchu. Right, but it's me, Malachim Yimluchu, and that's the pasuk before is Bi Itzah B'Tushiyah, which is talking about Torah. And also over there it says that in the continuation of the pasuk, that Hashem gives counsel to the kings and to all those that are, right, that need direction. So again, in the context of the Pesukim, it seems to be that the Malachim here, that the kings we're talking about, Malachim, are what? Kings that are talking about those that are involved in Chokhmah and Eitzah B'Tushiyah, which is Torah. So that's where he brings his group. So I'm relaying, when I lost the Kalilan Shalma, the Malach. The Malkai, how do you know that you double shalom when you talk to a king? When you speak to a king, how do you know that you double up in shalom? That's the reference to our Gemara over here, Kofilin Shalom. So this is the key book. Shalom, Marvelahu, Gomer Yudam Rab, Minayin Shkofilin Shalom Lamelech. How do we know that you double, when you greet a king, you say twice shalom? Shanamar, this is for people say by Yitemlecha, you say this every month of Shabbos. It says, Ruach Lakshad Amasai, Rosh HaShalishim. So actually, the Gemara leaves out the important part of the Pasuk, which is, right, Lakha David, Bimcha Ben Ishai, Shalom, Shalom, Lecha. Right, so that there, he doubled up. When Amasai is greeting David, he says, Shalom, Shalom. He doubles up at Shalom, so that's the proof. He says, they said, why don't you eat something? Take a little food here. This is what Rabbi Yehuda says. The person may not eat until he takes care of his animals. This we say every day. Hashem ensures that the animals first are taken care of, and then you go ahead and eat and be satisfied. So meaning that the person's eating and satisfaction is eating here, taking care of himself, should only be after he's taken care of his possessions, of his property, his behema. And this would be obvious to also his children. Person should ensure that his children are fed first, or those that are incapable of taking care of themselves should be taken care of prior to the person himself eating or taking care of himself. Right, so at the end of the parak. All right, now we'll start the new parak, and which goes back to more classic Yidin. We actually had over here, we had two brachim, and the Rabbeinu Tam also discusses a little bit why, you know, that the Yerushalmi had, the Rabbeinu Tam said we had a shaleach that was dealing with Tikkun Olam, and then we had a Nizakin was following after our Shaleach because they dealt with Tikkun Olam and Darkei Shalom. So topically they were all connected, and this was an insertion in the middle of Gittin. And now we go back to classic Gittin stuff, which is back to the original of what we were dealing with before, which is Shlichus in Getz. So that was a long time ago, but a while ago, before these two Prakim, we had left off with Shlichus in Getz, and that's what the Gemara is coming back to here in the mission of Shlichus in Getz.
Somebody
says to a shliach, accept this get on behalf of my wife. Oh, like get at least, or take this get to my wife. If he wants to retract the get, he may retract the get. Why? Because a husband can only make a shliach l'holakah. He can only send the get to his wife. He cannot have someone accept it on behalf of his wife. Why? Because a get, according to the chum, is a chol. And if it's a chol, he cannot be chavim l'adam shalom b'manav. So his only entitlement is to create shliach, to send the get to his wife. In that sense, he can reverse it because it's his shliach. He can pull the plug. Whether an Eved Ivri is Koba or not Koba, right? By Yedisha, we generally assume that it was a Tachoba for the Get.
Maybe it was called by Eved Ivri,
that it's better for him to be free than it is to wear process. Right, Eved Kani. That it's better for him to go free and become a full fledged Yisrael than to have his Baal take care of him, either feed him Shuma or to take care of him. Right now, the next case, now, Haisha Sha'amra, a woman who appoints a Shliach, he's Kabbalah Giti, except my Gemma, now she's making a Shliach Le Kabbalah. He may not reverse his position. Why? Because she created the Shliach now, she creates the Shliach, the Shliach has accepted the get. As soon as he accepts the get goes effective. So the husband can't retract the get once he gives it over to the Shliach. Whether, but, Imam Arlo, he says, the Baal says to Imam Arlo, the Baal, to the shliach of the woman, the shliach kabbalah, efshish the kabbalah. I do not want to give it to you to accept it on her behalf. El holeh v'teinla. You go and give it to her. So imrakalakso yakso. Now, because he's changed the shliach from being a shliach lekabbalah to a shliach leholacha. So that, in that case, he can reverse it. Shimon Gomer, apomeret. Even if she says to a shliach, totally giti, go get my get. So he, from Shimon Gomer's point, is that when she says totally geti, it's equivalent of saying accept it on my behalf. Not just bring it to me, meaning bring it to me and then I'll accept it, but rather totally means totally accept it on my behalf. And now the Gemara wants to know, Amar Leh Rav Acha Bar Eder Rav Avi L'Rashi, Taima Lo Shavita Ihi Shliach the Kabbalah. The problem in our first part of our Mishnah, the case where he says, Hitkabel get Lishti, or Halek get Lishti, the reason that he's allowed to reverse his position is because he can't make a Shliach the Kabbalah. But had his wife made a Shliach the Kabbalah, that's the point here, it was really Ihi Shliach the Kabbalah. Hashivitei, had she made into a Shliach the Kabbalah, Ihi Shliach the Kabbalah. I mean, Hashivitei, Ihi Shliach the Kabbalah, Batalak Solo Yaksor, it would work. Shmami no, from this we can say, Halek Kiskridami. When a Baal, as we saw in the first parak, when a person says, Halek, take this, Does he mean simply take this and that shliach is now only a shliach leholacha? Or holeich means holeich uzchik, meaning take it and accept on our behalf. And this is the case where zochim shlobuchanav. That was the argument we had in the right in the first parak, which is what happens if this is to the benefit of the recipient. So when a person is a giver, gives something to a shliach and says holeich, does he mean simply take it to the recipient and only when the recipient gets it does it work? I mean that's the kinyan. Or when he says holeich, means holeich uzchik. You, the shliach, take possession on behalf of the recipient, and therefore you can't reverse the position because it's zachar shadim lo fana. So the machlokas is whether holeich is kesi or not. From our mishnah, we should prove what that holeich is kesi. I mean, why? Because what did the husband say? What was the lashon of the husband? Holeich yetzev liishti. Now the problem in the first half of the mishnah was not that the language that the husband used, but rather that he appointed the shliach. But he appoints the shliach, he can only make it a shliach the holacha. Had the woman appointed the shliach, then it would be a shliach the kabbalah. And if he says holeich yetzev, then it would be a valid get right away, because the deficit in the first part of the mission is not the language he used, but rather the fact that he appointed the shliach and not her. So had she appointed the shliach, the language he uses would be valid. Holeich would mean zchi. And when he says holeich yetzev, he's not changing the status of the shliach to be a shliach the halacha, but rather telling the shliach take possession of it, and the get would be immediate.
Meaning he would say to Shemet, here's the get that I wrote for my wife that's on the table, you can take it if you want.
Right.
Or, that doesn't say you can take it on me. This is the get that I wrote for my wife. This is the get that you came for.
Right. In that case, it may not
have taken. Wait, so it's not good?
Then it may not be good, because he has to be.
Transferred from the Baal.
The Baal has to give the get. I mean, he has to give it. The woman cannot take the get. The husband must give the get. And he must have some sort of instruction that the woman gets the get. Right. You're lacking the sinus. Over here, so the fact is
it's not
the
time in the woman's ability to accept property or to accept gifts in general.
No.
That didn't get.
And get, that he has to give the get. But in this instance, he's definitely giving the get. The question is, when is he giving the get? He says, holy, does he mean, I'm giving the get when the shliach gets to the woman? Because I'm telling the shliach to go give it to her, instruct the shliach to give it to her. Or when he says, holy, it means, take this get and accept the get. I mean, so if that's the case, right, then as soon as the shliach gets the get, it's a good get because the shliach was appointed by the woman to accept it on her behalf. So that's the question in the mission. So the Gemara says, from our mission, you could prove that holeich works like holeich uzchi. Because if the woman appoints the shliach, when is it effective? The woman appoints the shliach. If you just read the first two lines in our Mishnah, if the woman appointed the shliach, it would be effective the moment the shliach gets it. How come? All the Baal said was holy. Take it to her. Right? I'll take it to her. Sounds like you take it, and until she gets to her, it's no good. The fact that when she accepts it, when the shliach gets it, it's good right away, tells me that holy means both take it and accept. Take possession of it right away. And that's what the Gemara's proof is from here.
Usually the Gemara assumes that the deficiency in the first case is that it's not a designated agent to receive a woman's hand, is that the next case contrasted where it's irrevocable
right.
Because the woman designated this agent.
Right.
And we're assuming the case is
a failure is here's the husband's designation rather than the language that he used.
Now, if a woman comes to the husband, and the husband hands it to her without saying a word, then it's a good get.
Yes.
But isn't this Shalem Kabbalah an extension of the woman's hand where a man just
right. The problem is that did his language change it? Did it deficient? Did the language of Holeich change this Shliach from Shliach to Kabbalah to Shliach to Kabbalah?
If he just came to him and said anything,
it would have been fine.
Right. Why does the Gemara then have to say Holeich is a chidam? Why did the Gemara say that Holeich command the law of my cloak, and he just gave it to
me. It's clear that he said something. The question is now, if you say holeich, holeich must mean not only take it, but accept it immediately. Well, no, it may not. It can't be his own shliach because he has to be zochah on her behalf. So it has to be the woman's appointed shliach.
No,
yeah, but the Gemara's question is if she appoints the shliach instead of him.
But we're learning it from the case of holeich, which is the first case, which is the case.
The Gemara says it's a deal. A deal can holeich is.
But the case of holeich is a case where he gives it to his shliach, not hers.
No, that's the Gemara. The Gemara says hashavita ihi shliach. Had she given it to her shliach? Had she you appoint the shliach, then it would work. If it does work, then that means holy is the shliach only. That's the Gemara's conclusion. It's only from the inference part, but not from the way the Mishnah is written itself.
Right,
outside of Gittin, but the Gemara's proof is from our case here, the Mishnah Gittin, it must be that it's for Shliach in this case. All right. The whole Kiddush in the Mishnah is about since Kabel get the Ishti. The Shakadach, I mean, I would have thought, since the Baal is deficient in his ability to create a Shliach the Kabbalah, so therefore, when he says, it's Kabel get the Ishti, except his get on my wife's behalf, that should be. Right? That should be a deficiency in the shlichus. Right? That even if it reaches his wife's hands, it should not be about the get. Right? Why? Because what's the problem? The Baal has the right to create a shliach the halacha, but not a shliach the kabbalah. What language did he use? He said, he's kabbal gets at least he told the shliach, accept this on my wife's behalf. But he couldn't do that. He wasn't able to do that. So when he does that, what does it mean? Does it mean that everything fails and the get's not a valid get because there's no more netina anymore? Or do we say when he uses such a lashon, he knows that the shliach can't accept it on behalf of his wife, but he's really making the shliach into a shliach halacha. And that's the kamash kolon. Our Mishnah teaches us that even when he uses a lashon of yitkabel gets a lishti, it's still a valid get when it reaches his wife because he's making a shliach halacha and not a shliach the kabbalah.
So how do you understand the punchline?
The hole kama, right? That he's saying that yitkabel means accept it and take it, meaning that it's not simply accepted. If it was simply accept the get, it would be a failure because it's not creating a shliach here at all. Because the shliach can't be a shliach the kabbalah on his behalf. He can't create a shliach the kabbalah. So when he says he's kabbalah, it would fail. So when we say is no, kamash kalan, then when he says he's kabbalah, it means take it to her. Accept it and take it to her. So he's
taking it for me.
Right. So that's the lashon of the kabbalah. So therefore, that's the finish of the first part of the mission. We don't need the deal that we had before, and therefore you can't prove anything about holy chizkita. Now the Gemara says in the second half of the mission, let's say we can prove it. Except the woman appoints a shliach the kabbalah. He may not reverse his position. My love, loshna a kabbalah, loshna a holacha. It makes no difference on whether, right, if it was a kabbalah, and it doesn't make an exception if it was holacha. Meaning that the second line in the Mishnah just says the woman appointed a shliach to be a shliach the kabbalah. It does not discuss what the husband said to the shliach. Right, so there are two possibilities of what he says. The Mishnah gave us two possibilities. Saying, now the woman sends a shliach, the shliach shows up, what does the husband say? He says, it's kabbal ked zed ishti. Okay, that works. If she made a shliach a kabbalah, it works. But he could also say, oh, olek ked zed ishti. He could have said one of those two lashonot. The Mishnah seems to say, it doesn't matter what the Baal says, as long as the woman appointed the shliach, it would be a good, right, get. In that case, what do you prove from this? You prove again that holik is kaskid on me, because when she says holik to the shliach of the woman, it works. If that's the case, then he's not changing, holik doesn't mean I'm changing you into a shliach Allah, but rather I'm saying holik who is kaskid on me. No snow Allah.
So what's an afternoon?
Again, that holik will be kaskid on me. Holik kaskid on me is when the get goes effective. Right. If you say holik is kaskid on me, then what the woman sends is shliach the kabbalah. As soon as the get gets to the shliach, it's an effective get. If you say holik is lav kaskid on me, that means that he changed the shliach into a shliach holacha from kabbalah, and the get will not be effective until it reaches the woman, because right, he's changed the status of the shliach.
If the person you're giving it is already an agent to receive it, and you say, yeah, where is it?
he gave it, take it to her. He didn't say it's her. Right? There has to be some sort of indication that he's giving it to this shliach to accept on her behalf. So Mar says, Loshna Akabala, Loshna Alakha. So Mar says, Lo, Akabala. This second part of the Mishnah is only referring to one of the Loshonos of the Baal. Then when she appoints a shliach for Kabbalah, it'll only work if the Baal says his Kabbal gets at least deep, but he said, Aleich, it would not work, or would not work until it reached her, and therefore you can't prove Holos Pistita. Tashmas. So now let's bring it to the next line. If the Baal explicitly takes away the instructions to the shliach, go ahead and become a shliach. Right? Then he can reverse it. The only reason it works here is because he said efshi means that he, like you were suggesting, right, that you pull the plug on the shliachless and explicitly pulls the plug on the shliach of Kabbalah. How will Mar efshi? Had he not said efshi, then he would not be. He has to disengage the shliach with Kabbalah and then engage him as the shliach of Olach. But if he didn't say Yeshi, we would assume that what Holech means, Shmami no, his Chidami, that Shmami has what Holech is, his Chid. And therefore, it would work right away. So this is again another proof that Holech is Chidami. So where it says, no, Dilma Behelech. Maybe he did not say Holech, but rather he said Helech. So Tosfos over here says that they're not Magi on the Mishnah. They're not saying like one of these things that you changed the Mishnah. It's not Sni. Change the Mishnah to read Helech. But the Tosfos says rather maybe there's a bright Mishnah that says Helech instead of Holech. Maybe there's some Tanaic work that uses the term Helech instead of Holech. What's the difference? Why does it matter? So Rashi says that Holech is an argument whether you're saying Holech or Holech Uschidami. But when it comes to Helech, everybody knows that the word Helech is Vade Helech Tamra'ah Kedamrahi. It means take it the way she said it. Helech means accept it the way she said. In Holech would be Shliach Leholacha, to deliver it to her. Helech means just take it. And when he says take it, it means, almost like what you were suggesting, Shol, take it means whatever you were before, your status in respect to Kabbalah, that take it like that. So Helech would be
Kisvi Dami,
automatically, because, yeah, not Kisvi Dami, but because it just, he's not undermining.
You don't ask him of her,
it's not like she wants.
Right, whatever she wants, just take it. I mean, it's not Helech, I mean, there's an instruction to do something, which possibly means you're now a Shliach HaOlach, but Helech means just take it, and you just do what you're supposed to do. And what you're supposed to do is be a Shliach HaOlach, and it'll work. That's the way Rashi looks at the first line of Rashi. That's the way Rashi explains Helech versus Helech. Again, they're not going to be in the mission. It's an interesting type. Usually when we say this, it's Snei, we would say Snei, Helech. Change the mission to read Helech. But that Tosfos says, no, we're not doing that here. We're saying maybe we could find a mission that says Helech, and therefore it won't be approved. But otherwise, Snei is approved, that Helech is Kredai. Alright, now, new question. The Gemara says, Shita, each having shliach laholacha, a man can be a shliach to take the get. Shekein molik vow, molik get leishto. Because a husband can deliver the get himself to his wife. If that's the case, he can replace himself with a male shliach. Mishav, a shliach to kabbalah. And a woman can be a shliach to accept the get on behalf of the other woman. Why? Shekein yisham, a kabbalah, yidami, adbala. And we know a woman can accept the get from the husband herself, she can accept it. Therefore, she can appoint the shliach equivalent to her, which is another woman. Because the pasuk says b'shilcha, right? We said that the ribuy of shilcha tells you that you're allowed to appoint a shliach. So if you can do it, then you certainly can appoint someone who's equivalent to you to do it. So a man can create a shliach l'chalafa, and a woman can create a shliach l'kabbalah, each in their own gender. Now, ish l'kabbalah, ish l'chalafa, Mike, what about ifko? What about the opposite? Can a man create a woman to deliver the get? And can a woman have appoint a man to accept the get on her behalf? Tashma. Some proof from our mission. Homer, it's got to get Zelishi, Yoholech get Zelishi, Imratzel Achzor, Yachzor. But if he wants to reverse it, then he can reverse it. Haisha. Now the mission continues. Haisha Shamay Tabel Giti, Imratzel Achzor, Yachzor. So the mission has two cases. One case where he appoints the Shliach, and the next case, the mission is where she appoints the Shliach. And is it the same Shliach? Are they using, I mean, the example in the mission doesn't say we change who the Shliach is. My love, a Shliach. We're talking about one gender, meaning a man. So he can appoint a man to be a Shliach, or then she can appoint a man to receive. So my says, Shmai Yom, Kvashat L'Kabbalah, Kvashat L'Olachah, can work either way. So my says, no, B'Shnei Shluchin, there are two different cases. The mission of a case by the husband is a case of a male. It's by the woman, it's a case of a female. So Tashma, the next case in the mission is one that's a definite proof, which is what? The woman says the Shliach, and the husband says, I don't want you to be the Shliach L'Kabbalah, but rather Shliach L'Olachah. So we're clearly talking about one individual here. Say the woman sent the woman. So it's clear that the man can reverse the mission of this woman and make her search for the Yaksa Allah, but it's clearly it's the same person. It's clear here, it's one individual who's changing the role of the individual from Shleach Kabbalah to Shleach Allah. So we know someone who can accept can definitely take it. So that means a woman can definitely work as a Shleach Allah. Again, we can bring a proof to this. Why? Each have a Shleach Kabbalah, that a man could be a Shleach Kabbalah, Shkeinav, Mikabel Kita, Get Levito, Ktana. Right? Because a man can accept a get on behalf of what? His daughter, a Ktana. So now, what's the case? The case is that the woman sent what? The woman sent a man. The woman sent a man, and then he reversed the Shliach and sent it back. So the only thing, this is what the Gemara says so far, the only thing that you can prove from here is that a male, the Gemara originally wanted to prove that a female could be a Shliach the Halakha, because the husband turns around and reverses the role of the Shliach the Kabbalah. The Gemara says, no, maybe the woman can use a man to be her Shliach the Kabbalah. How do I know this? Because we have another instance where a man is a Shliach for the woman. And where is that? When a father accepts he gets on behalf of his daughter. And a father married up his daughter, that's a condition to the Oraisa. If the husband wants to divorce him, he gives the get to the father. So we see that the father can act on behalf of his daughter, so we know that a husband's father, a male, could be a Shliach Kabbalah. So if that's the case, the only thing we can prove from our Mishnah is that a male can be a Shliach Kabbalah, and the husband can go ahead and reverse the role of that Shliach Kabbalah, make him into Shliach Olacha, but that's also a male. How do we know that a Isha Olacha, that woman can be a Shliach Olacha? We still don't have a proof about this. My, what's the din? Amar Bar Mitashma, I have a proof. So this again, this is we've seen earlier in the Masechta. Af Anashim Sheinei Emanot Lomar Meit Baala Emanot Laviyat Kita. That even those women that we've seen you promote are not permitted to say that your husband died, right? To not be matter her to marry, because why? They have a vested interest in having something bad go for her. They have a beef with the wife. All these people are, again, it's the mother-in-law, it's his sister-in-law, and all people who have issues possibly with the wife, and therefore we don't believe them when they say your husband passed away. But we do believe them to bring the get, right? Because the get is mochiach. Meaning that they can't lie, because we can always verify the get. So in that case, they can bring a get. Who are they? They're all women. So what do you see? Mahatam halokai. Over there, it's clear they're bringing the get on behalf of the husband, and they are shlichim lahalakha. So Amar Rashi, we say phenomenon, we can even learn it out of the second half of that Mishnah. Why? Shmaminah, the Kani Seifa, the next part of that Mishnah says, Aisha Atzma Mibiyat Gita. A woman can bring her own get. And we said before that what happens if the husband gives a get to his woman, Bimintina Seyam? The problem is that you're missing the finite Atzma. So how do we set up the Mishnah? Over there, we said that he does not give the get to the woman and have her accept it immediately. He says, you take the get and deliver the get to Basin, and there you accept the get on behalf of yourself, and you become the Shleach Olacha, and then you accept the get of Basin, you'll say the Fine Yachtav or Fine Yachtav in Basin. So what do you see from that? What do you see from that? Well, Kimna Vahalacha. The woman is the, she is the Shleach Olacha. So you can prove again, Shmamina, that a woman can be a Shleach Olacha. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara, is that either gender can perform either Shlichus. That you mean you can have a Shleach Olacha that's a male or a female, and you can have a Shleach Kabbalah that is a male or a female. Okay, we'll stop over here.